Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour on this snowy Monday. Hope everybody's having a good day to start your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's not waste any time. We got a lot of ground to cover with Chris Lee. VandySports.com does a tremendous job of covering Vanderbilt athletics. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon to you guys. It has been a busy one for me. I'm sure it has been for you as well.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We know it's been busy for you. So let's just start. When did all this go down for Derek Mason? When did all this go down for Candace Story Lee in informing Derek Mason that he was no longer the head football coach at Vanderbilt?
No, forgive me for not having the right attribution on this. I think it was Joe Rexroad, but I believe it was, and I think Joe has reported that it went down sometime late Saturday night. I did not know it was coming. I'd gotten a text from a booster saying, watch for something within the next week. But, I've gotten so many alerts about imminent stuff at Vanderbilt that never happened that it becomes white noise. But, I think it happened Saturday night, apparently. I will say this. I was not surprised. I had a story pre-written like you do in this case because I had heard, at least a month ago, that the chancellor was not pleased with this, that it was coming. I had been told that ultimately it was the chancellor's decision. So I think this was a case where they knew what they needed to do a long time ago. Why it happened this week, I can't tell you for sure. But the egg they laid in Columbia certainly provided them, with cover to do it. If you're looking for a good opportunity, unfortunately, his team gave the chancellor that on Saturday.
So you think this is more about the new chancellor than it is the AD that made this decision?
That is what I've been told.
Interesting. How much, and I know they're a private institution, and so a lot of this stuff is hard to find out, but how much do we think they were still on the hook to pay Derek Mason?
The estimate that I had been given, and this is me giving an estimate, not reporting, right? The estimate that I had been given was about $7 million. For somebody who was kind of familiar with the proceedings a year ago, I think the thought was it was about 15 then, that it would drop in half this year. And so that's what I think. Now, assistants and other guys, you probably add some money to that too. I'm thinking, I want to say, well, in fact, I'm almost sure they brought Ted Roof in under a 2-year contract. They were paying him $1 million a year, I was told. So you can add another $1 million for him. And I think Todd Fitch would probably be under the same arrangement. So if those guys are not retained by the next guy, I would think they'd owe some money too. Now, having said that, I have also been hearing for a while that Derek was kind of getting over it and was willing to take less than dollar for dollar on it. So I would think that's a reduced buyout. You could see the season was wearing on him, which it would have to. So I'm guessing they don't pay the full number, but I don't know what that check will wind up being either.
Let's go with where you just said that, because I brought this up earlier in the show. Without any proof, yeah, we talk to him every week, but it's not like, I've gotten this vibe from him through our interviews, but I just know how this works. I've been, just like Willie and you and Chase, we've all been around the program. We've been in Nashville. We know how this works over there. I suspect Derek Mason, not that he was looking to get out, but I suspect there is a little bit sense of relief. It wears on you when you think, you can't accomplish certain things at Vanderbilt because you don't have the help. And we know he has said things in the past, especially the last couple of years, alluding to that. And that's not groundbreaking news. It's not anything new. We've heard other coaches say the same thing. It's a difficult job. We know that. How much do you think that has played into it? And how much do you think maybe there is a little bit of sense of relief for Derek Mason that he knew this was coming and he knew that he probably ultimately couldn't accomplish the things that he thought he could at Vanderbilt?
Well, I'll draw a parallel to life. If he ever got out of a bad relationship, he woke up the next morning and suddenly he felt a little bit better. I have a feeling that, Derek probably feels some of that. And look, Derek made, what, about $20 million or so while he was there? I don't know what the final tally would have been, but Derek made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I don't feel too sorry for him in a way. On the other hand, look, that guy had so many promises, I think, made to him. I've had parents of players tell me, look, he sat in our living room and told our son this was coming or that was coming, and you know, 4 years later, here we are, right? So that gets old, too. And Derek was never a guy to call the school out publicly, which I think he should have done more often, frankly. Because the school almost always needs a push to do something. And you could kind of tell, I asked him at the press conference last week about did he think the school had done everything for him that it could in terms of support and things. And his answer was, and he got irritated at the question, and he talked about how, you know, things were coming and 2021 was going to be different and support from Candace and Dearmeyer and those things. But at one point he also got very blunt. He said, I've been here 7 years and they did nothing for me. And he's right. He's right. You can say what you want about Derek's performance, and I think a lot of that's on Derek. James Franklin has showed you can win without having to have all the amenities. A good coach is a good coach, and he is going to succeed to some degree almost anywhere. So Derek had some responsibility. But I was also kind of proud of him for taking that opportunity to call the school out, because I think it deserved to be. And I think that is a point as we evaluate Derek Mason for history that should be pointed out, that he did not get the things that he needed and that he had a lot of broken promises. And I'm glad I asked him that question, because I think it was a fair one to ask him.
Talking to Chris Lee, and we're talking Commodores here. So, Chris, let me throw this at you. Now that Chancellor Dearmeyer has been around for a little bit longer, what is your read on him? Because I think we're all curious where it goes next. This is where they have an opportunity to turn over a new leaf, make a statement. Do you feel like, we know he said the right things, that they want to have football be at the standard that everything else at the university is, okay? So Do you think he'll back it up?
This is a long way to answer it, but I think this is important, Willie. When I go to find out what's going on at Vanderbilt, I don't take a lot of what they say at face value, because we have heard the nonsense, the broken promises. You remember the little song and dance that Williams and Zeppos did, what's it been, 3 or 4 years ago, where Williams said, you know, we're going to get these facilities, we're closer than ever, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, never mind, we take it all back. If you want to find out what really goes on and what people think, you check behind the scenes with people that have had conversations with people. And one thing I'll say about Daniel Dearmeyer, this has been 100% consistent on him from the minute he got to campus. Everybody that I've talked to, and I've talked to a number of people who've been in meetings or have had private conversations with him, everybody says every time he is very serious in winning in sports. That tells me he is not telling one audience one thing and telling another audience another thing, which Nick Zeppos did a lot. I think if you are a Vanderbilt fan, you're hoping for change. That is the most encouraging thing that I have heard, because he has been on point with everybody that he has communicated with privately, that he is dead serious about getting this right. And it is going to take that kind of leadership from a chancellor. And frankly, they've not had it since Gordon Gee left. I hope this is the turning over of a new leaf for them.
Chris, I've had a sort of a list that I've been having in the back of my mind should this day come. It came yesterday. So I had some guys in mind. And then as I looked at a number of different outlets, put a prospective list together, it was pretty consistent from what I had in there. So let me just hit you with a couple of names that seem to be thrown out there. And let me see what you think in terms of where you would rank these guys. Let's start with the obvious. Clark Lee played at Vanderbilt, grew up here, went to MBA, doing great things at Notre Dame right now. He's a hot name regardless of what school would be open. Give us your thoughts on him.
I put out a hot board yesterday, Willie. It had four names on it. That was purposeful. I did not want to do a throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks thing. They were names that I felt either certain or darn near certain that they would have interest in the job. Clark Lee was one of those guys. I have since had it confirmed probably three or four different ways since I put that out that Clark Lee is very interested in the job. Some think that he might be the favorite because I think he's got the favor of Tim Corbin, which I think is going to carry a lot of weight with Daniel Diermeier. So Clark Lee would absolutely be on that list.
Okay. How about Will Healy, a guy that we've gotten to know pretty well for what he did at Austin Peay? Very young, but seems to be a guy on the rise.
Absolutely. Will was one of the names I had on my four-man list. Will is a guy who is a no-brainer for consideration. He has coached at Austin Peay. Everybody knows what he has done. His uncle was an All-American football player at Vandy. I believe Will grew up a Vandy fan. He's been dying to have this job for a while, so that is another slam dunk name for your list.
So those two guys have, you know, they're sort of similar in that they're both fairly young. They both have maybe some, let's call it heartstrings, right? They have an attachment to the program that's kind of unique. So give me the other two, because I won't play. I won't guess. I'll let you sort of unveil the other two guys that you think have actual interest and value to when you just throw a list out there. Because a lot of people, as you said, they'll just throw spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah, the other one was Jamie Chadwell. And when I first heard about that, I was skeptical. I'm like, why would he come here? But the more research I did, he is from Tennessee. He apparently very much wants this job. I think he'd be great. I don't think that you make your choice based on, well, he does this on offense or he's a defensive coach. I think you fall into a trap where if you put your blinders on a little bit and say, we just want this, you can make a wrong choice. But Jamie Chadwell has done wonderfully well as a head coach everywhere he's been. He does run an offensive scheme that I think would be difficult to defend, which I think is a plus when you are Vanderbilt, because you're not going to get the five-star kids that Georgia and Florida and Alabama get. So he is a guy who has interest in the job. That's been recorded elsewhere, too. So he's on there. The other guy on my list was Jeff Fisher, and I've taken some heat for that, right? And I don't know where Jeff is going to be on the interview list, if he'll be on there at all, but I'm 1,000% certain that Jeff wants this job. He has wanted it for well over a year. He was lobbying Malcolm Turner for it then. He's trying to find a way to get an interview now. So everybody knows Jeff Fisher and his background. You know, the skepticism about Jeff is he's never been a college coach. But I will say this in his favor, and again, I don't know if he will get an interview or not, but I think Jeff is very organized. He would be very serious about getting out and pounding the pavement and trying to revive a dead fan and alumni base. Jeff's a very smart guy, very mature guy. I think that Jeff brings some things to the table. There are some obvious questions with him. But that name was on that list because I know for a fact that Jeff Fisher would love to have that job.
I love that he's interested. And so if I'm Vanderbilt, as a wild card, I would love to hear him out. I would love to hear him make his pitch. I think he would be a great guy to talk to. Let me throw one more name at you, and then I'm going to pass it along to Chase, Chris. How about Charles Huff on Vanderbilt's staff at one time under James Franklin? Right now might have the reputation as the best recruiter in the country. Of course, he's recruiting for Alabama, which helps, but you hear a lot of great things about him, and there are some coaches that have ascended because they're basically great recruiters and great CEOs, even though they're not necessarily an offensive mind or a defensive mind. What do you think of him?
Well, that is one that I do not have on my list, but I've had a couple people text me about. Like I said, what I put on mine was one that I could connect them to, that I knew there was interest. With him, I did not know that, but Football Scoop, and credit to John Bryce, he's the one that had it, I believe, has said that he's interested. He's got the Vanderbilt connection, the James Franklin connection. Look, he fits a lot of the profile of what James fit, in that, you know, minority, exciting guy, good recruiter, those sorts of things. And so I think that's one, because you almost know for sure that they're going to interview a minority candidate. And on paper, he looks like a really good one that I'd want to talk to also.
Chris Lee is with us, VandySports.com. I want to go back to something on the Jeff Fisher angle, because when I look at whoever the next coach is, I believe that you're going to have to find somebody that is kind of what Jeff is, the salesman that can sell the program like James Franklin did. That was one thing that, you know, Derek Mason just didn't have the personality similar to James, and I kind of think that you have to have that in your head coach knowing the landscape of Vanderbilt. So, you know, who knows what the X's and O's look like with Jeff being, you know, an NFL guy, and he's been out of coaching for obviously a long time now. But I think that fits what they need of somebody that is going to go and pound the pavement and sell the program. And I don't know if the other guys that you mentioned, do they have those kind of skills that they're willing to do that extra work?
Well, I think we know for a fact that Will Healy does. And watching Chadwell on video, he strikes me as that kind of guy too. He's 43. You know, and Healy and Clark Lee are both in their 30s. I think Healy's 33 and Clark Lee is 38. You know, Clark is not the dynamic personality, but I think he's an attention to detail guy, and he knows how important recruiting is. So while he may not be a magnetic personality, I wouldn't count him out for that. And I know I'm not answering your question directly, but here's where I am. Jeff would definitely do those things. Jeff is fired up about the opportunity to have a crack at this job. You know, and a lot of times we look at coaching candidates, and it's almost like if you get above a certain age, maybe out of your 40s and into your 50s, that's almost looked down upon. Well, first of all, how many of these coaches go to one place and stay, you know, for 20, even 10 years, even 7 or 8? The answer is not many. I think Jeff is serious about doing those things. He's got the energy. He's got the experience. And I think being 62, you know, he's been through a few things and battles that most of us haven't by virtue of life's experience. So, you know, I don't know that people are excited about Jeff Fisher, and I'm not saying he should be the guy. I think I would take a college coach, but I do think that there are some things that are in his favor that people might not normally think of in that regard.
Well, and Chris, and I don't mean this as an insult towards him, but he has nothing to lose. He's made his money. He's had a successful coaching career. That's why it's almost perfect for him, because he just wants to be back in the game. So, and he's been resting, he's been fishing. I mean, he's done FanDuel commercials. So he would have a lot of energy to bring into the program, you know, if they were to go that direction. I agree. I think there's some up-and-coming college coaches, Will Healy being one, Clark Lee, of course, being another, that I think would be great fits for the job. But if you're looking for some of the things that you're going to need the football coach to do because of what Vanderbilt is, I think he can certainly do it.
If you're looking for facilities, Jeff behind the scenes.
Sure.
Finding somebody who's going to be better behind the scenes than him in lobbying and trying to get things done. I would be hard-pressed to, because there's nobody better behind the scenes and, you know, giving a pitch. I mean, he got the Rams job because he sold the ownership group on, I'm the guy to move you to L.A. I'll get you to L.A. I mean, that's how he got the job. So if you want somebody behind the scenes to get it done at Vanderbilt, I don't know if there's anybody better. But, you know, obviously you still got to be able to coach and win at this level, and there's no proof that he can do that because he's a pro guy.
Well, that's where your staff comes in. That's where you have to get the right, you know, he couldn't bring his Chuck Cecils and, you know, all his old buddies. I mean, he would have to get a staff that has been in, you know, been in the game, been in college, can recruit, can help with that, and that would be probably the most important thing for him.
Yeah, and let me be clear. I'm not trying to shill for Jeff Fisher here. I've just done my homework on this ahead of time, and I've known about him being interested in that job. He was lobbying Malcolm Turner for it, and I've done my diligence to look into it. I think all the things that you say are true. Again, is he the right fit for the job? Who knows? Is he the best choice? Who knows? But I do think there are some points in his favor that deserve to be pointed out. And again, I'm just approaching this on a factual basis. I know that Jeff is very serious about that job. And one of the reasons he is, if he likes the city, this is where he wants to stay. He's got a lot of respect for that university. And again, he's done a lot of stuff behind the scenes to try to make contact with boosters and former players and things like that. So Jeff has spent a lot of prep work trying to get this job if it were to ever come open.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com. Hey, we appreciate it as always. I know the days are going to stay busy as the coaching search gets underway, but we appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Chris Lee, and we will see. We will see what happens. Mike Vrabel coming up here in just a few minutes, but Darren, you have a word.
I do, about college hoops, Gonzaga and Baylor. They'll be going toe-to-toe for what could be the top ranking in the country in college basketball. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all college basketball fans who sign up right now a chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor. And for this big tilt in college basketball. Plus, you'll get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 when signing up and using the promo code 1025GAME. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME. And when you sign up for your shot to turn $100 into $100, or turn $1, excuse me, into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win, use the code 1025GAME during sign-up and for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.